You turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 24, please. Proverbs chapter 24. We'll stand for the reading of God's Word if you're able to, and we'll read verses 1 through 5. I'll read if you'd follow along. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them, for their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you, and Lord, we think about this house that's builded. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. And Lord, we think of the various types of houses that we have in the Christian life. Lord, we pray that you would help us to build up the right houses and establish them. And Lord, help us as we look at this in principles on wisdom, instruction, and knowledge. We ask this all. And Lord, we pray for any that are on their way here, that you might give them safety in the road. We pray for any sick and obstructed. We pray that you would meet their needs and be with them. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We're focusing in this morning at verse 3. Through wisdom is an house builded, and through understanding it is established. Well, think about a physical house, right? I am not a home builder. I do some renovations here and there, but I'm not a home builder. I don't feel equipped to build a house, to actually, lay the foundations and put up the walls and put on the roof and the trusses and the roof joists and all that. There's wisdom that comes with that. There's knowledge. You have to know how to do it. You have to know the proper materials, the proper tools, the right angles, and you have to know what's tolerable for, being out of square and all those types of things. And so there's wisdom that comes into that. So there's that aspect of the Christian life that kind of mimics building a house, where every one of us, every single person, is a spiritual house. We're told that we are to build up spiritual houses. So layer by layer, brick by brick, you think of those verses in 2 Peter chapter 1. Where it tells us what to lay upon the foundation of faith. In 2 Peter chapter 1. In verse 5, and besides this, give all diligence, add to your faith. There's that foundation of faith. Virtue, which means moral excellence. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge. And of course, that's not just like figuring out how many stars there are in the galaxy. It's to do with, godly knowledge, things that will pertain to life and godliness. Knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance, spirit control. And to temperance, patience. And again, remember that word patience. It does speak of having a patient spirit, but it also speaks of endurance, of being able to endure over the long haul. And not just being the 100-meter runner, but being able to run the marathon. And to patience, godliness, we're already speaking of temperance. That's being spirit controlled. So walking in the Spirit, so that the Holy Spirit then guides us and enables us to be conformed to the image of Christ, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. And of course, you see the escalation getting stronger and stronger. Brotherly kindness, that's where we show kindness to each other. And we like each other. And we help each other. We lift each other up. And then you get further there where to brotherly kindness, charity. And the Bible tells us that charity is the end of the law. And that is love in action. And And so that's more than just liking a person, showing them kindness, but actually a genuine love. And it's not just in word. The love is not just in word, but it's in word and in deed. So we have those individual houses that we are to build. We are a peculiar people, as Scripture says, a holy nation. And in Ephesians chapter 1, it tells us that we are made for the praise of His glory. So Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, or verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, He hath made us accepted in the beloved. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. So we have been created for His pleasure. We've been created to build up this spiritual house. Think of that verse in 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So there is a duty upon us to, each one of us individually, to be a spiritual house, layer by layer, brick upon brick, to build that house, to put a roof on it. And at first, the first house we build is going to be pretty small. And we're not going to start out this big, huge mansion and be living outdoors in this huge mansion where we have a foundation and we have walls this high and we're camping, we're laying out in, exposed to the sun. We're going to start off with a small house. You know, this house that they have in Capernaum in Israel that they believe was the house that belonged to Peter, which was kitty corner to the synagogue there, you can see the foundation of the house is square. And then you see later additions. And they believe that, the historians believe, that additions were added to it, and this was then made a church building. And so, think about the Christian life and how stone by stone, brick by brick, we might start off with a small house, and then we build up another wall here. We knock down the interior wall so that space is now bigger. And as we grow in our spiritual walk with the Lord, that house is getting bigger. And of course, its sole purpose is to serve the Lord. Its sole purpose is to be a possession for Christ, to the praise of His glory. So we have the spiritual home, house that each one of us is supposed to be, this spiritual building. Then we also think about those that have families, that are trying to build a home, trying to build a family, and it's through wisdom that house is builded. By understanding, it is established. So let's take a look at some, and then of course, even going a step further, we think about the house of God, the physical, not, or not saying the physical, the church, the assembly of called out believers, not the actual just physical timber, but the actual assembly of believers. That's something that we seek to build up. We seek layer by layer to encourage folks. We try to lift them up, edify them, bring them to another level of understanding, another level of service, another level of conformity to Christ, so that each one of us is this structure is no longer just square, but it's maybe octagonal, or I'm just thinking back to that house in Capernaum, where it's getting bigger spiritually. We're getting stronger in Christ. And numerical growth isn't always the goal. I mean, we want to see more souls saved. We want to see more people added to the kingdom. But one of the strongest goals is spiritual healthiness. So it's through wisdom that an house is builded. So some verses. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1. Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath built her house. And we see in places that wisdom is personified. Chapter 8, the previous chapter, speaks of wisdom personified. And some will misinterpret chapter 8 to be speaking specifically and exclusively of Jesus Christ, which it is not. I mean, he is wisdom personified, but Proverbs chapter 8 is not just wisdom. Because some, for instance, like the JWs will say, well, you know, that when you look at some verses in Proverbs chapter 8, that wisdom was created. And they'll try to use that to show that, to illustrate their point that Jesus Christ was created. But anyway, notice verse 9, chapter 9, verse 1. Wisdom hath built her house. Okay, so Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1. And as we think about, well, how does that apply? Well, we need to seek after wisdom, right? We have to seek after knowledge, instruction, wisdom, understanding. So Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. And of course, that goes for a man or a woman. I can either build up my house, my spiritual home, or I can tear it down. And that goes to a physical structure as well. And you know, when we own a home, we need to take care of it, right? I mentioned how recently I had a hot water tank go, and you know, the plumber said, "Oh, you got some problems with your vents up there in your roof, and you're gonna have leaks soon if you don't take care of it." So I'm like, okay, another thing to do. But if I don't get on that, I'm going to have problems. And so it is up to me to ensure that my house is well-maintained. And I'm having issues with my collar this morning. Excuse me. I'm getting multiple up. You resisted. Well, Dad didn't, and others appreciate the help. Some of my shirts, just, you know, all I got to do is click that, and it's probably back there again, is it? Oh, no, it's not. Okay. But, you know, spiritually speaking, we've got to take care of. When we see something is leaking, the paint's peeling, and the, you know, we've had this before where paint peels on windows and you don't really pay attention to it. I mean, we had it this last year, where some of our sprinklers were catching some windows, and we didn't get the what was happening there, and the paint peeled, and the windowsills rotted, and it was a pain. But I got in there, cut them out, and slipped in new ones, and used some concrete mortar sort of things, and filled in the cracks. And if I had just been more attentive and noticed the peeling paint, and maybe changed the sprinkler head's angle, and painted those things, that wouldn't have happened. So spiritually speaking, we've got to be aware when there's cracks, when there's paint peeling, and it's through wisdom that a house is builded. And we got to be careful that we don't pluck down the house that has already been builded. We're not knocking down the bricks. Let's take a look in Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. Rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So spiritually, we are to be rooted and built up in him. We need to have tap roots that go deep, deep, deep. So that when storms of life come, that tree doesn't go down. You've seen trees before where a storm comes and And there's this nasty mess where the tree blew down, and there's all these roots sticking up in the air, and you see the base of that, you see the underside of that tree. And for one reason or another, that tree could not withstand the wind, whether it was just gale force, tornado, or whether it was not enough moisture, so the taproots didn't go down far enough, or whatever it might have been. You've probably experienced this too before, but there's been times where I've needed to take down a tree and needed not just the tree gone, but I needed the roots gone. And I have fought and fought and fought to get out that tree. I've had a pickaxe, and I've been, because some of these trees you get, they send out taproots even after you cut them down. And so you're trying to get rid of all of that. While it was annoyance to me, that is a good example of how a Christian should be, with roots that just go down deep and strong, rooted and built up in Him. I've had times, and you've probably had times, where storms of life come and you're saying, Lord, I so wish that my roots were deeper right now. I need your help. Lord, strengthen me now that my spiritual roots will hold me in you, rooted and built up in him. Thinking about rooted, let's take a look, same book, just one chapter previous, chapter 1, verse 23. Colossians 1:23. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am a minister. This is in the middle of a conversation here, but we're going to focus on continuing in the faith, grounded and settled. That no matter what assails us, no matter what storms come our way, that we will stand rooted and that we will cast all of our cares upon him. For he careth for us, settled. Be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Remember, the gospel is more than, the gospel in a nutshell is the good news. It is that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. That is the gospel. But the gospel, it extends beyond that as well. It extends into the Christian life. And we're not to move away from that gospel, no matter what hits us. Even if it's like some of these Christians. I just saw a news article this morning about 50 Christians that were burned alive in a pastor's home in Nigeria. How sad, how scary it would have been. But you know they had the martyr's reward if those were true believers. I say true believers because the word Christian is quite often used by groups that are not truly born-again believers, even some of the cults, as you know. But no matter what comes our way, that we are rooted, we will not move away from the gospel. Okay, so rooted. Going back, let's actually forward. Let's go to Jude, verse 12. This is what we don't want to be. Those are these that gone the way of Cain, run greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward. These are spots in your feasts of charity, and they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about with the winds. That's what we don't want to be. We don't want to be carried about with the winds. You think about like a dandelion, when that yellow flower matures into a seed, when it gets to the point of being that seed that has its own little umbrella, and it takes off and it goes wherever the wind takes it. And that's not what the believer is supposed to be. Okay, so carried about with winds, trees whose fruit withered without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. So the very opposite of what we want to be. Now let's head backwards, going into Ephesians, please. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, 21. In whom all the building... Okay, let's actually back up here. Verse 19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Individually, we're building a spiritual building, but then these buildings are like modular homes, in a sense, where, you know, you've seen, you think of the housing unit down on Mission Flats and even the one down on Trunkeel, where you've got these modular homes that are in themselves, they could be a home, and they're placed together and made into an actual building. The one in Trunkeel, it was quite interesting watching it go up. And now it looks like just a simple apartment complex, but to see it piece by piece going together, and same with the one down in Mission Flats, with these ATCO trailers lined up. And well, individually, we are a spiritual house. And then we are placed together for the bigger context within the local church. And so we're built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, fitly framed together. You know, some of our spiritual houses are going to need some adjustment, aren't they? I was putting on a countertop this last week, and I was coping out the countertop to match the bricks, the cinder block wall in the basement that it was nudging up against. And the cinder block wall had some irregularities and some coping out this and coping out that, sanding off this, and to fit it into place. And sometimes we have to be sanded, and we feel the rough edge of the rasp against us. And like, I don't like that feeling. But it's the Lord. He's making us so we can fit into place, fitly framed together. Okay, going into Romans chapter 11, please. Romans chapter 11. We've looked at the analogy of the tree. We'll take a look at that here again. For context, let's look at verse 13 on. For I speak to you, Gentiles, insomuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciliation of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the firstborn be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, which were partakers of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Then wilt thou say, the branches were broken off, thou may be grafted in. And so he goes into, he carries on with his conversation about the Israel and the Gentile and being grafted in together. We are builded in Christ. We are grafted into Christ. As when we trust Christ as our Savior, there was a spot in that tree that was trimmed, and a little slot was cut. I don't know exactly how to do. I've seen the pictures and how they'll then fit that branch into that slot, and I think they probably wrap something around the tree to keep that graft in place. I'm sorry? A lasser? That's what it's called? Oh, elastic. Okay. And so we as believers, when we trust Christ as our Savior, we're added into that tree. And remember, we are rooted in Him. We don't have to create our own roots, but our roots in Him need to be strong. Okay, and let's take a look at that familiar verse back in Psalms, chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Here's the result. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So thinking about our text, Proverbs 24:3, through wisdom is an house builded. How is it builded? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Getting into God's word and delighting in God's word, spending time in God's word. I have, you know, in the last, at least the last month, I'd say I have spent more time in the book of Psalms than I have for the rest of my life. I'm not saying, I should rephrase that. I'm saying this concentrated time in the book of Psalms is unlike any other time I've ever had in the book of Psalms. Collectively over the years, I've spent more time in the book of Psalms, but it has really nourished my soul. You know, reading usually on average about 5 chapters of the Psalms each day. And boy, does it ever cement in your mind the day of the week or the date to be able to go, it's the 24th. I know that because I read Psalm 24. I also read Psalm 34. I also read, you know, Psalm 54 and so on as you go in the multiples of 80 the multiples of 30. And it's interesting. Sometimes I actually do my math wrong. I might have even just done it now, but anyway, I sometimes do my math wrong, and I land on a psalm that I wasn't supposed to read but for that day, but it was the psalm that the Lord wanted me to read. And it's like, oh, wow, Lord, that's really speaking to my soul. And, you know, there's going to be times when we are like, but I spent all this time reading and trying to get into God's word, and I just, it's blank. It's a blank slate to me. Then the question we have to ask ourselves, is there something between us and God? Has a telegraph wire been cut? Has the enemy got in there and cut the wire, or have we ourselves actually sabotaged it through sin? Are we harboring sin that we know that we cannot hold on to, and yet, well, we think we have a legitimate excuse to hold on to that sin, but in actuality, it is sin, and because of it, we are not hearing that still small voice of the Lord as we read his word. He's saying, you know what? Don't go searching for truth when you are not living by the truth you already know. We cannot pick and choose what truths we choose to follow. And if he says, Fred or whatever the person's name is, you got this error in your life you got to deal with. And you say, not today, not now, later. But Lord, I want something else. I want some freebies from you. He's going to be like, no. You deal with that thing first, and then you'll get some, you'll get some truths. I'll strengthen you. So sometimes that's the reason why. So we're to be rooted in wisdom, to be built up that spiritual home. We're to be established. We looked at some verses in Colossians. The one in Colossians 1:23 speaks about being rooted, established. Established is where a person is stable. You think about businesses. I think, you know, in some cases, I think about some of the different storefronts here in Kamloops, and you'll look at a business, and a new business comes into that space, and a year later, a year and a half later, they're gone. Another business comes in, and not so far down the road, they're gone. They're not established. Something was not quite right. Maybe the location was not right. Maybe the what they're trying to offer was not really needed or wanted, or something was not quite right. It was never fully established. It didn't build up a clientele base in that community. And when we're speaking about the believer being established, rooted and established in Christ, we are to be in one place, spiritually speaking. and we could be counted upon. We're not vacillating back and forth like the waves of the sea. Okay, we're going to close with those thoughts and have a word of prayer here. Dear Father, we come before you. We ask that you'd help each one of us, no matter what area of our life, Lord. If we're a born again believer, Lord, that we'd be firmly established, that our roots would go deep, deep, deep in you, and Lord, that we would, during the hard times, that we would cling to you like no other. Lord, help us not to wander from the gospel as we read there, Lord, but that we would stay firmly attached to our Savior. Lord, help us to cast any burdens at your cross, as we sang earlier this morning. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Lord, help us to cast those burdens there and to be firm and unmoving in you. Lord, we ask that you be with us as we go into our morning worship service, that you would speak to our hearts, be with any still in the roads. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.